Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Japan's Grace of Victory, Britain's Worst Defeat, the Capture of Singapore, masterminded and written by Colonel Mansubu Tsuji. And Singapore's just surrendered, and we've got to see what happens here in part 7, getting towards the end, thankfully, but we'll be going in to read you all the way through Japanese citations and then eventually the propaganda they gave the Japanese. It's very insightful, some of the comments they give here about how he's commanded Chinese forces and things like this, or Japanese forces in Japan, and the minor regiment is a particularly brutal regiment of Japanese soldiers that they've sent in to fight against the Australians. Part 7, page 121, chapter 56, Rushing the Camera. On the occasion of the meeting with General Yamashita and Percival, the enemy general said, quote, "This evening, as there will be great confusion in the city, if by any chance the Japanese army should make a triumphal entry into the fortress, it will be impossible to guarantee unforeseen happenings will not occur. Please wait until tomorrow morning." "Yes, that will do," said General Yoshita, acceding to Percival's request. On the morning of the 16th of February, it had been confirmed whether the order of the commander would be acceptable to the hundreds of thousands of British troops in the fortress. With the staff officers, hundreds of thousands, well, it's obviously not that many, the staff officers of Kamara and Kawajima, who came from the Imperial headquarters as liaison officers of the whole army, are hurried into the city in a car which the Japanese, a large Japanese flag, stained with disheveled and was flying. Passing shell craters, burnt-out cars and trucks and other traces of recent severe fighting, we entered Singapore City, which was whirlpool of chaos. For the whole Japanese army, we were conducted the first triumphal entry into the fortress. The first thing in the city to strike the eye was the waves of men in khaki uniforms. Many of them still carried their rifles, walking around nibbling bread. Groups of them were squatting on the road, smoking, talking, shouting in rather loud voices. Strangely enough, however, there was no sign whatsoever of hostility. Poor Aussies having to fight in the jungles in khaki. When we went up to, finally got into fighting in Papua New Guinea, they sort of dyed their things. Rather, it was an expression of resignation that had shown by losers in a fierce sporting context. Taking out a well-worn camera for the first time, I photographed the surging crowd. Suddenly, from all quarters, white and black soldiers rushed upon the crowd, shouting, according to the interpreter, "Please take a photo of everyone." When I inquired, they all wanted their photographs taken. The nonchalant answer was, "Your photographs will be sent to Japan for the world's newspapers immediately. Our wives and families will see these photographs and know their husbands and sons have survived." The soldiers looked like men who had finished their work by contract at a suitable salary and were now taking a rest free from anxiety on the battlefield. They even borrowed the courtesy to us Japanese, whom they hated. The English storehouses and dwellings were swallowed in waves of looting Chinese and Malays. Even women and children were all mobilized like thieves at a fire. The inhabitants, who were all to be pitied, were today giving vent to feelings of hostility that more than 100 years of coercion had aroused. Oh dear. Each was struggling to get in front of the other, take the force in enmity several times the value of his losses during the war. The wretched nation without imperial rescript on the base on which to base their conduct. Oh dear. At Far Eastern British headquarters were firmly closed. Two sentries stood holding rifles. Their faces showed resentment. With due solemnity, they opened the gate. Only a few British subordinate officers remained behind, as there was no agitation or confusion anywhere. Inside and outside, the headquarters building had been neatly cleaned and swept. I climbed to the roof of the four-story building. On Tabukitima Heights, the Japanese flag fluttered in the breeze as if ruling the whole island. The black smoke, the occasional burst of flame from the burning oil tanks covered half the island. We patrolled the changing city. Groups of plundering people guarding their loot were everywhere, beginning bloody quarrels, and it was obvious that if we did not take action quickly, our administration of the city would become extremely difficult. A part of one of our units under the command of Major General Kamo was chosen to perform the guard duties at the danger points. It immediately set about maintaining order in the city. The rest of the army maintained firmly on the outskirts. Even officers were strictly prohibited from entering the fortress without army order. This was the basis of maintenance of military discipline after the cessation of hostilities. Warning against celebration, on the 17th of February, Bukitima headquarters was transferred to Raffles Institution. During the fighting, it appears that it had been used as a hospital. On the walls, pierced by shells, recent bloodstains still remained, but the sick and wounded soldiers had already been moved elsewhere. Cleaning up immediately, we got down to business. The whole Japanese army, worn, battle-stained and ragged after the campaign, had to be cleaned up and spartaned again. The army headquarters had to set the example. All the staff below the rank of army commander were accommodated in a small building on the grounds of Raffles Institution. Several beds were arranged in a narrow room under the roof damaged by shell fire. Water for baths was heated in oil drums over fires in the open, and we washed off the dirt of many days. Three meals a day were served on a table at the staff's officer's room by the youth Marota. From the Imperial headquarters, a telegram came informing us a day prearranged for the triumphal entry to the fortress. It appears that the paper landed processions of congratulations and rejoicing throughout the length and breadth of Japan. Hearing this, General Ishida sent the telegram, quote, "The battle is no more than a prelude. The army will not hold a celebration. Instead, a triumphal entry ceremony, a ceremonial commendation service for the dead, will be solemnized on the 20th of February. And immediately after, we will begin our operations in Sumatra." Accordingly, on the 20th of February, at 10 o'clock, in the morning, officers, non-commissioned officers and soldiers selected to represent every division and every unit assembled on the Raffles Institution grounds. First of all, we erected with the appropriate solemnity an altar of our 3,500 dead, who included Major General Okamura, 18th Division Ordnance Chief, killed in action at Bukitima, whose memory we revered. Incense was kept burning all the time, and while the smoke rose, the voice of General Ishida reading the address of sympathy often ceased entirely because of his strong emotion. The army standard of 11 colours, resplendent in military service today, drooped low and did not move. Tears streamed from the faces of officers and men standing in line who had survived the fight, so must not shame the spirits of the departed. At the conclusion of the memorial service, the ceremony of handing over the citations was carried out before the tablets of the dead. The baking through the Jitra and the battles of annihilation at Bakuya and Slim River had been actions of great value, but warm attention was given to the dead and scant attention to the living. The thankless tasks performed by the signallers, engineers, cooperatives, flight units, for which there is no recognition, had been of great value. It was General Ishida who, of his own record, suggested the handing of the citations to the dead rather than to the living. Throughout the Malayan campaign, the men of the Kanuki Division under the divisional commander had fought bravely, but they had suffered little by comparison to the 15th and 18th Division. In maritime operations off the west coast, in crushing enemy defeat at Prakrai, in the demonstration of the urban units, there was never any time for any weakness which could cause anxiety. This might have been expected as men of the division were picked up troops signed out of their whole country, and moreover had a proud tradition. But it's regrettable that they did not have suitable men as leaders to command them. This affected not only the officers of the Kanoki Division, but reflected the whole army. Well, he really got in for them, hasn't he? 58, Sharing the Joy. The Navy, especially the ships of the Southward Squadron, had cooperated well in the brilliantly successful campaign. Several days before Singapore was captured, it was publicly announced over the radio by a section of the Imperial General Headquarters through Captain Harrod Navy that the naval landing party had penetrated and taken possession of the port of Sikla. Oh, was the surprise comment from everywhere. The truth was that the Army Commander, General Ishida, wished to allow the Navy somehow or other to receive credit for the action, and though the Navy liaison officer, Naki, ranked up all the available men wearing naval uniform and arranged for them to enter the Salta naval base together with the army. Needless to say, neither naval officers Saranagi or anyone else believed the Navy captured Salta single-handedly. When the Navy heard the unexpected announcement from the Imperial Navy headquarters, they were so humiliated they wished to creep into a hole. Some officers from one section of the Army staff were indignant at this self-righteous analysis, but the Army commander said, quote, "That's all right, don't worry about it," and left it at that. The matter being disposed of for the time being, General Yamashita sent thanks to the Admiral Osawa for its cooperation throughout the campaign and cordially invited him to visit the Army headquarters. The Admiral and his officers were taken to the heights of the Imperial Palace, and from there the heights of Bitama, where the whole progress of the battle explained to them. Finally, to show the gratitude to the Navy, we of the Army asked, quote, "Is there anything the Navy wishes? Anything you wish we will do?" In due course, the Navy let us know what they wanted. So they asked for all the equipment at the Salta Harbour, one aerodrome, a number of houses, and roughly 500 motor cars. A liaison officer who submitted the demands was urged to ask for more. "We so few cars enough, especially when we have so many." The humility, he replied, "What I have already asked for will be sufficient." They asked very excellent cars and houses. They were selected very excellent cars and houses, which were required for use in their rear sections. In the middle of the Dutch East Indies, the respective services resisted the establishment of such harmonious relationships, especially with the struggles of the spoils of war. But in Malaya, neither prior to the start of operations nor throughout their continuations was there any clash between the two services. A perfect relationship was maintained. By the suggestion of Admiral Osawa, the Shohan Singapore Society was organized by the senior officers of the 25th Army and the Southwood Squadron. This society, until the end of the war, gathered every year to commemorate the 15th of February to promote friendship between the squadron and the 25th Army. If the whole Army and Navy had lived up to the principles of the Shohan Society, perhaps the outcome of the war might have been different. Well, I don't think so. We've got something coming for you. You have other things in mind. Still a really big war ahead of us. There's invariable problems man towards man. Both Admiral Osawa and General Ishida were men of strong personality, bound together by an attitude of mutual respect, which could result in nothing but good. The victory ceremony of triumphal entry was carried out in a lively fashion in Hong Kong and Manila, but there, here in Singapore, only representatives of the army units carrying boxes containing the ashes of the dead would pass through the city in solemn silence as a warning to southern people who they defeated. The ceremony was the first step of the army plan of administration for the occupied areas. Really interesting, the Japanese occupation plans. I've studied them, but okay. The small detachment of the 5th Division under the command of Major General Kamara maintained order in the city. "By enforcement of military discipline, we plan to protect law-abiding citizens." Oh, yeah. "All officers and men, other than those guarding the detachment, were forbidden to enter the city of Singapore except on official business on which they were required to carry army passes. Sightseeing passes under the leadership of unit commanders were taken on scheduled tours throughout the city, the men comprising of such parties having been previously severely cautioned against breach of regulation. It was, however, not easy to prevent unlawful trading transactions. One day alone, I was making a tour and inspection of the streets of a certain Malayan border complaint. He was a clerk of a large watchmaker's shop. On being led there, as the front door was closed to business, I was taken to the back of the entrance and up a second story. Second lieutenant and roughly 10 men under a warrant officer were in the midst of repeatedly lowering the price of watches which were displayed. The clerk was trying to prevent this, but the high-class Swiss watches were being knocked down to 5 or 10 yen. This is essentially plunder. This is so funny. You think that would be high-class watches, so like the beaches. Certainly it was an interaction that death by shooting would have been enforced as a penalty for looting and plundering. For me, the instant question was the answer as an necessity. "Fools," I cried, as I instantly smacked the faces of the officers and men concerned. On investigation, they turned out to be connected with the flight group. I made an entry of full names in my notebooks. Further to our principal streets of the business centre, I found more of the same petty thieving. It was, I thought, conducting a crusade. On my way back to headquarters, a sergeant major was walking along ahead of me carrying a large parcel wrapped in Furoshiki, whatever that means. He's wearing an official business armband, but seemed to be nervous and excited. I ordered him to open the parcel. Two large crocodile skin handbags and a glass luxury goods fell out. It seemed that all the profitability of at least half of these would be plunder. It turned out that a subordinate of the Major General of a certain division was given an order to buy presents for his wife and daughters by the Major General. To the extent that there were in the campaign, this campaign, weak persons who were robust in the path of theft, so to the extent there would be weak units in war and transgressions of military discipline would be more numerous. Having smacked the faces of the men concerned in the illegalities, with came under my notice, I submitted a full report to Army Headquarters. General Ishita ordered a parade of all officers and, standing in the scorched sun, gave a scathing address on the enforcement of military discipline. The unlawful conduct of the previous day, as recorded in my notebook, was read aloud to the officers of the whole army. A certain Major General, stricken with fear greater than that of enemy bullets, stood pale without even wiping away the beads of perspiration of his feet. Those who changed the name of Singapore to Shohan with the hearts like the sun, in contrast to the people today, consider the responsibility, that's the Jap name for it, Shonan, consider it responsibility, took steps to carry them out. Those who were conquered, assumed control, and those who liberated with other governments. They all held their own ideas of right and wrong. We, the conquerors, without showing pride, had to practice moral principles at the starting point of the new history. Thank you. As if this is all true. Immediately after the capture of Singapore, the establishment of the Shohan Shinto Shrine was discussed. A site was chosen for the virgin forest on the reservoir heights, in which had been the centre of the battle of the conquest of the fortress. Officers and men of the Japanese Army Group and a group of prisoners of war set to work with pick and shovels in the spirit of transcending both gratitude and revenge, they rendered a service to the gods. When we commenced building the memorial on our war dead in the Bukittima Heights, a tower was so erected for the purposes of holding requiem masses for British officers and men who had fallen in fighting. Although small, it was built by the hands of the Japanese army, which had conquered it. It was a new symbol, a substitute to the bronze statue in the Singapore of Raffles, which had been removed. Whatever that bronze statue is, that would be interesting to know. When we entered Singapore, we were surprised to see the airfields, harbour, city had not been destroyed by the enemy. Seizing the junior enemy officer, he questioned him. Why did you not destroy Singapore? We asked. Because we will return again, he replied, again. Again we asked, why did you believe Britain has been in the war? He replied, we may be defeated 99 times, but the final run will be alright. We'll win that. The one junior officer prisoner of war spoke with the voice and belief of the whole Anglo-Saxon nation. A little more than 3.5 years later, a curtain fell on the Japanese army government in Malaya, the seventh in the country's history. Smeared with the blood of young officers and men who gave their lives in the country's on the Bukittima Heights, the Shono Shinto shrine changed to smoke in the blast of an explosive charge. The bronze statue of Raffle appeared on a pedestal of the second time, but without anyone knowing the reason, the colour seemed to have faded. Judging from its expression, it may be that it lost the confidence in the principal government by force. In the military operation, we conquered splendidly, but in war, we were severely defeated. But, as if by magic, India, Pakistan, Ceylon, Burma, Dutch East Indies, Philippines Islands, one another granted independence overnight. Our reduction of Singapore was indeed a hinge of fate for the people of Asia. Well, there you go. Citations. I have to read this. Okay. The 5th Division, under the leadership of Group Commander Lieutenant General Matsu, carried out the landing in southern Thailand at the commencement of operations against Singapore. Notwithstanding heavy rain and intense heat, marshes, swamps and dense jungle, in 55 days the division repaired more than 200 bridges destroyed by the enemy, broke the enemy's strongholds and overcame resistance encountered at every junction. After the advance of 1,100 kilometres, it took positions of Johor Bahru, thus determining the fate of the enemy. Next, the division commenced the attack of Singapore Island, effecting a landing thereon and faced the obstinate enemy resistance. Continuing assault at night and day, capturing fortified positions north of Singapore, it broke the enemy's plan of resistance. During the whole campaign, the division was under the command of Lieutenant General Matsu, who fully manifested the vision of exerting herself to the utmost in heroic fighting to fulfill the important mission. Above all others, the Ando Regiment, under the command of Colonel Ando, greatly facilitated the operations of the main body of the division by breaking in deep into the flank of the enemy at the Patanki district and destroying a sudden attack of a powerful enemy group in the Slim River area. The second detachment, after landing at Sungori, advanced rapidly and broke through the active resistance of the frontier in the darkness of torrential rain and drove a deep wedge in the Jitra line, throwing the enemy into confusion, which, in opening the battle for the campaign, started the collapse of the strong position. Throughout the rest of the campaign, the unit commander under Colonel Tamara, under heavy fire, crossed hundreds of large and small bridges destroyed by the enemy, repaired them rapidly by working day and night, and thus greatly facilitated the operations of the rest of the army. The citation keeps on going on. The conduct of the division and the units composing has been in full accordance with the highest tradition of the Japanese army, and in recognition of this great achievement, the citation is hereby bestowed. Citation 18th Division. The 18th Division, under command of Group Commander Lieutenant General Michiguchi, participated in the Malayan campaign from its commencement. Its Takumi detachment carried out a difficult landing at Kotobara in the face of enemy, destroyed the enemy operational air base, and then rapidly overland advanced struck Hutan, thus ensuring the seizure of the aerodromes and crushing the obstinate enemy resistance in the air. Again, at the Kobai unit, which had also landed in Kotobara, it advanced rapidly to seize the key enemy strongholds of Enda and Mersim. During the final attack on the Singapore Island, this division on the right wing of the army forced the landing against the strong enemy resistance, pressed onto the rear of Tengah Aerodrome, and at the night attack broke the strongly fortified position, seizing the high ground of the south of Bukit Timah, thus sealing the fate of the enemy. Then attacking along the southwest coast of the island in the face of heavy artillery fire, it broke through the enemy line and captured the high land of the vicinity of the Keppel Barracks and the key position of Singapore. Under the leadership of a distinguished, resolute group of commander, the division demonstrated traditional intrepid spirit of the Japanese army, and in recognition of great achievements, are hereby bestowed this citation. Kanoe Imperial Guards, Ogeki Battalion, so this is the one he doesn't like. This battalion, under command of Major Ogi, participated in the Kanoe Division in the drive along the west coast of Malaya, maintaining rapid pursuit of the enemy, taking the lead from the Ego Pursuit Unit Corps. On the 15th of January, it confronted a superior enemy force and checked its advance in the vicinity of the mouths of the Maru River, and after crossing the river with great difficulty in the face of strong enemy resistance, made a surprise attack from the rear of the enemy position, which it destroyed. Next, to undertake a surprise attack on the enemy around Baraki, the battalion made a detour from the coast road, and in the early dawn of the 19th of January, intercepted in the line of retreat from the enemy forces attacking and being counterattacked from all sides by superior enemy forces accompanied by armoured cars. The battalions lost more than half the officers and non-commissioned officers and suffered heavy casualties among the rank and file in the most violent battle of the campaign to date. Captain Seno, who commanded the battalion, bravely sustained the attack on the enemy rear, cooperating closely with our forces attacking their front. Notwithstanding his own heavy losses, the battalion wiped out an entire enemy brigade. I recognise his actions as surpassing the achievements which satisfactorily demonstrate the glorious spirit of the unit in association with the former nucleus and with the battle commander. So they don't get a citation, do they? Gotanda Tank Company. Gotanda Tank Company, under command of Captain Gotanda, following the operations Malaya with the troop leader Igoro in control, on the 18th of January participated in the Battle of Baktari. The infantry attack, supported by a tank company, penetrated the enemy line with great difficulty and suffered very heavy casualties. When all the company's tanks were put out of action by enemy fire, the whole personnel, including the company commander, joined the front of the infantry attack and met heroic death in battle. In this action, the Katana Tank Company, exhibiting sublime spirit and sacrifice, materially influenced the progress of the battle and inspired their fellow soldiers in the difficult task of attacking the enemy of superior strength. As a result, their Katana Battalion, intercepting the enemy line of retreat, was able to destroy a brigade of enemy troops. The stealth sacrifice of the Katana Company is to be taken as a model for the whole army. And it's a great achievement, as acknowledged as unparalleled, I therefore bestow this citation. They don't, Kanoe don't get a citation. 11th Infantry Regiment, Itabana Platoon. While the Watami Regiment was engaged in the attack of a fortified position in the neighbourhood of Meguri Bari on the 26th of January, the Itabana Platoon arrived at the battle zone of the 2nd Line Company and found its way around the strong point, which was holding fast, while our main forces, those of the enemy, were engaged in general actions. Penetrating the rear of the enemy mainland, the platoon on its own initiative attacked the enemy rear, causing much confusion. The platoon leader and 23 men under this command fought desperately, and when their ammunition was exhausted, charged by sword and bayonet, inflicting tremendous damage on the enemy. Finally, the whole platoon met heroic death in battle. Their valiant attack was responsible for the destruction of a large number of enemy, and it must be said, serves as an example of future conduct of troops in battle. Is acknowledged and permanently a great achievement. Shimada Tank Company. The Shimada Tank Company, under command of Major Shimada, operated the 5th Division of Malaya attached to the Ando Regiment. They took the Trollak in the Kampar district, working in close cooperation with the infantry, artillery and engineers. At 5 o'clock in the morning of the company attacked, a strong enemy's division broke through the zone of landmines in which were deployed in depth, and which drove right through the whole enemy fortified position and dealt a fatal blow to the enemy on both sides of the road. Again, at the Slim River, the tanks singly charged into the enemy lines, and 2nd Lieutenant Watabi several times went out of his tank under very heavy enemy fire and destroyed demolition gear on enemy bridges, wiped out fortified artillery positions and destroyed the enemy headquarters. After about noon of the 7th January, they ranged over the front of about 20 kilometres, causing confusion among the enemy and enabling extermination of two enemy brigades. After that, an isolated action, they penetrated the enemy lines and secured several important bridges. I recognise these distinctions as achievements of considerable importance for the future operations of the division. Citation, Tank Detachment attached to the Seiki universe. Unit. The tank detachment attached to the Seiki unit under the command of Troop Leader Seiki on the 11th of December during the operations in Malaya under cover of heavy rain attacked and penetrated deeply into the enemy position at Jichum. Then concentrating in the rubber jungle, it attacked powerfully enemy mechanized troops preparing to occupy the fortified position, pursued them and drove them through the enemy fortified lines and later cooperated with our main forces in a night assault. Fighting continuously and heroically under the intense enemy artillery fire, the enemy's defence thus starting to collapse and strongly along the Jitra line, and in opening the battle, striking terror into the heart of the enemy. I recognise these surprising achievements, which were advantageous to the future of our military operations, therefore I bestow a citation. Let's see how many more citations go on. Surely you can't... No, we're coming to the end of... thank goodness, we're coming to the end of citations. It's making me a bit sick. Citation, 15th Independent Engineer Regiment. The 15th Independent Engineer Regiment, under the command of Colonel Yokoyama, during a Malayan operation, invariably under heavy fire, swiftly repaired more than 50 large and small bridges and had been destroyed by the enemy. In the course of the extremely difficult operations, they advanced 1,100 kilometres with the 5th Division. Furthermore, during the attack of Singapore in the most difficult landing across the Johor Strait, under heavy enemy fire, the troops worked an intelligent, exhaustive preparation to enable the full strength of the 5th Division to complete the crossing of the strait in a very short time in the face of strong enemy opposition. These great deeds were advantageous to our military operations, I recognise as distinguished achievements. Citation, 11th Infantry Regiment, Asai Pursuit Troops, 1st Lieutenant Hami Asi, and the 10 men under him. Oh dear, they mustn't survive. After a breakthrough of the fortified position of Jitra, the 5th Division, the Ashiti Pursuit Troop received orders to seize bridges on the southern edge of Alor Star. During the attack in our main forces, they charged through the defeated enemy and arrived at the first bridge at 10 minutes past 10 on the morning of 13th of December. Under heavy fire, when the enemy on the southern end of the bridge, platoon commander Asib, in a motor vehicle, immediately rushed across the southern end, leaving two corporals, Kenu and Nakima, to seize the northern bridge foundations and disconnect enemy demolition charges. Just as Lieutenant Asib was about to disconnect the charges on the southern end, they blew up, killing him, Corporals Nusuki and Ford, with their bayonets against great odds, and killed several enemy. Corporal Nusuki was the first to fall, and Corporal Kanuku was wounded. The rapid and intrepid charge by those under the section commander caused panic and confusion in the enemy ranks, and it was easy to seize possession of the railway bridge on the eastern side and the above-mentioned bridge. This henceforth was a considerable value for further operations of the 5th Division. The right action was a sublime sense of responsibility of the Lieutenant. Asi and his men may be modelled for the whole army. Our knowledge of such distinguished military service is unparalleled. Older Engineer Company. Coming to the end here, one more... Oh, no. Oh. Okay. So it's going to be long. The Oda Engineer Company. The Oda Engineer Company, under command of Major Oda, landed in the face of enemy at Singora at the commencement of the Malayan campaign. Attached to the Kanoki Division, they moved to the west coast of Malaya and operated by sea and small boats, manoeuvring skillfully among 650 kilometres of coastline. They frequently attacked the enemy aircraft and small surface vehicles, suffering heavy casualties among the personnel and considerable damage to their boats. With normal tenacity of purpose, they carried out their duties heroically and landing at Port Sweetham, Moorhead, Mahu, Bahu, Pah, and many other places, they attacked the enemy at the rear, invariably throwing his forces in confusion, becoming a serious menace of operations, and thus creating conditions for advantages for the whole army. At the crossing of Torres Strait, they operated with the 5th Division, and although more than half their boats were damaged and sunk by enemy fire, and very heavy casualties they suffered, they completed the task assigned to them, conveying their quota of the 5th Division troops across the Torres straight to land on Skilled Island against strong enemy opposition. I acknowledge the preeminent achievements, therefore I bestow this citation. Nitwara Fighting Unit Citation. Throughout the operations of Malaya, the Nitwara Fighting Unit cooperated closely with the ground units of the army, often under heavy enemy fire. The planes and units continuously searched over the jungle, obtaining information on ground conditions and enemy dispositions ahead of the army. These served as data for the attacks of our ground troops, including our attack on Singapore. At all times, the unit showed aggressive spirit and invariably provided intelligent reports and guidance of the ground forces at the right times. For every group of units, this was available for the army operations branch. This was indispensable for the contacting campaign. I acknowledge these preeminent great achievements. The Ibushi Telegraph Company. Okay, we're getting down to the beginning. The Ibushi Telegraph Company, following the operations the 8th of January, operated along the railway lines from Singara to Kuala Lumpur, driving off remnants of enemy forces and removing landmines along the track. They effected swift repairs to telegraph lines along the railway, which had almost been destroyed by the enemy. Henceforth, almost continuously under enemy fire, they constantly maintained telegraph line, repairing it as our troops advanced and enabling continuous connection between the Army headquarters and the 5th Division. This greatly facilitated our military operations in the area. Next, they received orders for the construction of a line of communication between Army headquarters, campaign post, and the 5th Division headquarters, which planned the future main line for the reduction of Singapore. They carried out this task at the time for the assault of Singapore to be launched on the date planned. On the 8th of February, during the first landing of the Singapore Island, they carried out extremely difficult operations of laying submarine cable along the Johor Strait under intense fire. This was secured firmly at both ends and kept connected with our forward troops throughout the battles of the island. This also carried out lines of communication works to transport our men through the jungle, often interrupted by enemy fire. Nevertheless, the work was carried out according to plan and completed in time for commencement of crossing at Johor Strait. The maintenance of continuous communication with the assault troops is the utmost importance of the Army headquarters during the fighting of Singapore. I recognise these as surpassing great achievements. Therefore, I bestow this citation. 1st Lieutenant Tashiki Kanuki Division. Army 1st Lieutenant Takahashi a canoe division. From the start to the finish of the Malayan campaign, remained at the head of the advance guard of the division, invariably showing initiative advantages to the other units of the division. At Bakay, he led a detour to the rear of the enemy to intercept their line of retreat. At Singer, with barely one squad under his command, he carried out a reconnaissance which enabled a suitable allotment of tasks for the units engaged in the battle. In a brilliant night attack, he led a movement which resulted in the capture of the Sangara Bridge, thus opening the way for further advance of the main forces. Well, coming to the end here. At the crossing of the Johor Strait on the 9th of February, he directed the crossing of the first unit of his division. On the 10th of February, during the attack on the Mandi Heights, he directed detected a weak point in the enemy line and quickly seizing the opportunity, led his troops in the position of Hill 185, which proved an important observation point for future attack. After the capture of the high ground on the west of Mandiki, during the subsequent heavy fighting, Lieutenant Takashimi met a heroic death in battle. Because of his vigor and resolution in grappling with difficult situations, his achievement of great success in every battle, his division will become a model for the whole of the army. I therefore bestow this citation. Sergeant Himashu Fuji Koti, Engineer Regiment. Sergeant Himashu Koti, the Engineer Regiment, was appointed squad leader for a constant surveillance of reconnaissance of Johor Strait during the 10 days of preparation prior to attack on the Singapore Island. His duties were to obtain details of the enemy's positions and the enemy's shore, to observe the effects and the ebb and flow of tides, and he was thoroughly observe all things and other collect data likely to be useful crossing the strait. On the evening of that February, as a boat leader during the crossing of the 18th Division under the intense enemy fire, he stimulated and encouraged his subordinates. Arriving on the enemy shore, he jumped into the water and held the position and lashed together boats. On his return crossing, he was shot through the body by an enemy machine gun and severely wounded, but maintained his advance across the channel according to the command hand flag signals. As he arrived at shore, he collapsed and died. His bravery is of wise sense of responsibility and a model for the whole army. Final one is Lance Corporal Koshi Yamoto Yokomoto Yokomawa Regiment. Lance Corporal Kiyoshi Yamamoto Gomad Regiment Engineer, during the Hercules crossing of Johor Strait in the 8th of February, was removing boats and lashing together when enemy shells destroyed right and left hand boats and seriously wounded him and his steersman. Lance Corporal chest was torn open, exposing the right lung from his ribs. He continued, however, to direct the boat forward and single-handedly brought it to disembarkation, at which point, without hitching and landing, the troops aboard. Then saying, "Long live the Majesty, His Majesty the Emperor," and praying for a certain victory of the Imperial Army, he closed his eyes and compassion death. His vigorous sense of responsibility is an honourable courage I recognise as a model for the whole army. And now we reach the end of the book with a confidential, several confidential documents here. So, yep. And several, very interesting appendices, which I'll read because we're all very thorough researchers, aren't we all? Thanks for lots for listening. 37 minutes. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.